Thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for the touch of the Lord Jesus. Holy Ghost, thank you for the rightly divided word. Thank you, Lord, for the breaking of the bread. Lord, thank you for the precious blood of Christ. And our Lord, settle us in on, Lord, what we stand in need of tonight. Lord, we love you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Right there where you sit, help me sing. Amazing grace, how sweet that saved us. Just the ladies on the third. Country church tagged this onto it. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Whoa, I'm saved. 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 Ladies, help me right here. Blessed assurance, Jesus. Oh, what a foretaste. Purchase. Born. Washed. This is my story. All the day long, this is my story. This is my story. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you, Lord.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn. And there may I Though fire. As he here comes. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins. And there may I vow as he washed all my sins. Ain't it now?
Amen. I say I bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning up an old sinner. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Absolutely.
Unworthy and undeserving, thank God. But he's done it anyway. Hallelujah. Glory.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
What he told Simon Peter. John 13:10. You're clean every whit. You can't preach a regular sermon here this week. Ain't happening. John 13:10. Jesus is going to wash their feet. Simon Peter, got to love him. He was up or he was down. Turns out the chief apostle was bipolar. Don't that encourage some of you? He was bipolar before it was cool. Cussing or preaching. He's walking on water or drowning. He was building three temples on top of a mountain or going back fishing naked. You gotta love a bipolar apostle. Had the keys dangling off of him. God picked the goofiest one. Y'all actually believe them psychiatrists? You know the lie about all that psychology and psychiatry is that they tell you if you're messed up, something's wrong with you. If there ain't nothing wrong with you, you're messed up. Stinking lying bunch of psychiatrists. Four divorces, six nervous breakdowns. They all of them hooked on dope. And they somehow going to help you with your problem? They think a monkey's their mama. They're for killing babies, but don't let you kill a darter snail. I don't even know what one is. I'm going to go find one and step on it tonight. Just for general principles. They don't know if they're a man or a woman, and they're going to help you. Y'all don't believe them lies, do you? Satan snuck in the side door of the church and told everybody, Jesus can help you with your problems, but if you got a real problem, you got to leave the church and go find secular professional help. The lie out of hell. Tell you right now, we don't know what we need. You ain't going to have revival telling everybody what it is. It ain't going to happen. We don't know what we need. You telling God what you need, you'll never have revival telling God how to send it. God's the only one who knows what we need. None of us know what we need. We're in worse shape than we think. I wasn't going to tell y'all that, but y'all have already got what y'all been asking for. I wasn't going to mention that, but then I did. Yeah. Y'all asking for the Lord to fall on this place. Too late. Won't you quit telling him what you need? Won't y'all start asking him what you need? Guarantee it'll be something you never saw coming. Is that right, Pastor?
Amen.
It's kind of like revival. Brother Buchanan has been thinking about this. We've been fellowshipping 3 months over this revival, but me and you. Revival is kind of like raising children. The only people who know how to do it are the ones who've never done it. They didn't get it, but I'm going to expand on it. Brother Kiefer, God bless you, man of God. There's Charles Kiefer.
Amen.
Brother Kiefer, you ought to hear some of them tapes when I was 21 and 22 and 23. And not even married. And I was preaching on raising kids. Son, I was amazed at how much I knew. And then the Lord let me have some in my mid-30s. And I'm 43 and I got three of them under the age of 10. If y'all will find all them tapes, I put them out there with the daughter snail. Yeah, the only people who know how to raise kids is them yo-yos who ain't never had none. And what about, I'm not going to be ugly here, Pastor, but what about all them lesbians out there and they're giving all these talks and they're pastoring the women of America? That'd be Rosie O'Donnell, everybody on The View. Hillary, Ellen, I wish I had somebody. What about all them lesbians pastoring the women of America? Now, I'm looking at the pastor, see, so it'd be right. Keeping it right. Say amen right there. Stinking outfit. Revival, same way. Everybody's expert on it until you have one. Then you realize you had no idea how it comes, how it goes, what happens when it gets there. It's like you said last night, quit trying to have somebody else's experience. You're going to have a hard time having revival studying the histories. You can't study the history of revival and then go tell God, do that for us. It ain't going to happen. At first revival, I'm praying we stay here a month. I wasn't trying to act like you didn't hear that. Let the Lord, you do exactly what you know. Leave me alone. At first revival in the Bible that took place, the work of God outside the Jewish economy, was Jonah in Nineveh. Jonah went to that great city, capital of Assyria, hundreds of thousands of people. Revival broke out. And you study that revival and it breaks all, you'll throw away all your revival sermons.
Sure.
It messes them all up. 7 steps to revival. There wasn't nobody stepping in there. It's a whale puking. 5 keys. Jonah swallowed a key, then no key left, Lord. First revival came. Nobody prayed for it. Nobody wanted it.
The preacher who preached it got mad when it happened. He was up on a hill. Wish God had killed him. That's how we know he was Independent Baptist. Jonah right there. Mad sitting up under the gourd or something. The Lord's good, ain't he? You can't hardly preach no regular sermon around here. Not this week. I've had one mapped out for y'all all day. Come in here and looked at this front row and knew it's just useless. Just throw it away. This young boy on the end is the only redeeming grace I see on the entire outfit. And today that young boy, he's wanting to get in there so bad. God's put you in the metal chair. You can't come over here. Your hair ain't good enough. Sit with old brother right there. Got to have good hair to get on this pew, son. You got hair like a preacher. You just got a haircut. You got to work on your hair to get over here. Don't be coming over here with just no haircut. John 13:10. He's trying to wash their feet. There's the Apostle Peter. And he said, he's pious and humble. All at the same time. He's bipolar. You never wash my feet, Lord. And he was, what being rebellious, he's trying to be humble and have great piety. You'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, if you don't let me wash my feet, thou hast no part with me. So here comes Mr. Bipolar. Not just my feet, but my head and my hands, Lord. I mean, you know, in one verse, you'll never. Just give him two verses and he's jumping in the tub. Swan dive in the basin. Gotta love him. This is the same Simon Peter who one little girl made him curse that he didn't know Christ. But when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he ran to his cross. And said, turn it upside down. I'm not worthy to die like he died. And I love that. I mean, I really thought we was moving on, but we're going to still hang around. We're splashing around. I thought we were splashed out, but we ain't. Your fault. You went to splashing. And Jesus said to him, no, you don't need a bath. I've already cleansed you. This is just knocking the dust off your feet. How clean are you? I'm quoting. But ye are clean every whit. I read that, preacher, in my study. Shouted for an hour. And didn't even know what whit meant. When I finally commented, I said, I wonder what it means. Woo! I'm whit washed. That's better than being whitewashed. A lot of folk are whitewashed. I've been whit washed. So I looked it up. Whit. First cousin with the word wet. Akin to the words whittle. You know what whit? I memorized this years ago. It helped me so good. It just stuck in my head. Noah Webster, 1828. Whit. Every smallest particle imaginable. Do you know white is not a color? It's the absence of color. That's why they call it, and I've learned this studying it, that's why it's called whitty. White with an E. It's wit with an E. There's no color in it. If you whittle something, you'll bit by bit, little by little, shave it away. A whetstone is when you grind it off.
every smallest particle imaginable. When He washes you and cleanses you, He got every smallest particle. You're witty as snow. You're actually whitter than snow. The Bible's always smarter than scientists. Science falsely so-called, Timothy. The Bible's always the final authority. And your life would go better if it would be your first authority, not just your final authority. And the scientists got, we found a mistake in the Bible. One place, since y'all brought up Jonah, it said a whale got, in another place it said a great fish. Oh, we got you there. Because they say a whale is, you know, an oxygen-breathing mammal. I think I've solved it. A whale is a great fish. Look at that. I want a degree. I want to sign something. I'm smarter than the scientist down at the university. Turns out, y'all, a whale is a great fish. You gotta go to college to get stupid enough to think a whale ain't a great fish. And David prayed in Psalm 51. See, I thought we were moving on, but we're still splashing. We're splashing around y'all's salvation. I ain't got no wisdom. It's what the Holy Ghost is doing this week. That's clueless. He's the one doing it. Y'all praying for the Spirit to fall. He done did. You're praying for more, but more what? Don't put no what. I'll just say whatever more is coming. Watch this. Psalm 51. Oh, that great sin. I'm so glad the Bible's honest, aren't you? Man, Brother Buchanan, I'd have quit preaching. I'd have jumped off a tall building a long time ago if God hadn't been honest in that Bible. I needed to see Moses lose his temper. And God said he's the meekest man on the face of the earth. You talk to God about it, you don't like it. Abraham's father of the faith, and he got scared every time he got in a bad neighborhood. Had an arrangement with his wife. You're my sister. As long as we're going through Charlotte or Atlanta, you're my sister. We get back in the country, you're my wife again. And she still called him Lord. My wife called me Lord the other day. She said, "My Lord, Dean." Amen. You take what you can get. Amen. The words were right, the spirit wasn't quite, but you know, we're working on it. That old deacon always told that. I'm so glad the Bible's honest. See, I'm thinking, why has the Holy Ghost had us getting your standing with God shored up these last few days? That's because some of y'all have been praying for God to pour some things out in your heart and life, whatever else is coming. Whatever he's got for you, you've been a-begging for it. And the devil's been talking to you, right, whispering right behind them prayers, saying, "You ain't worthy." It's taken me to Thursday to figure this out. He's been telling you. I said, "Lord, what are we talking about salvation every night? Let's get into deep things." Can you get any deeper than the fountain filled with blood? And some of y'all are never going to become what you need to become until you see that you already are. David said, with his adultery and his murder and his cover-up, David said, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." There's nothing more dazzling, nothing more bright, nothing more beautiful than snow. Fresh fallen beautiful snow laying on a back mountain meadow and the morning sun come through and strike that, dazzle, it'll blind you. But you know what's at the heart of every snowflake? A particle of dust. It's how it's formed. Dust particles in the atmosphere. Moisture comes in and that moisture moves in and it runs into a dust particle and it allows it to become a droplet. It hits that particle of dust, becomes blood, and then it gets cold enough in the upper atmosphere, and it freezes. That's what it sounds like. Y'all didn't know what it sounded like when a snowflake is born. And if you was up there, and they're all being born at the same time, but if nobody's in the woods when the tree falls, did it make a sound? So y'all don't know either. So leave me alone. And there's that snowflake, and then it's too heavy to stay there because it's crystallized and it comes floating down. But at the heart of it is a particle of dirt. And David, praying in the power of God and under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote it down and said, if you'll watch me, I won't even have one little particle left.
Amen.
And then some of y'all who care, I pastored long enough to know there's two kind of church members. Those who care about the Lord and the things of God and those who don't give a rip. And you ain't changing either one. And some of you don't care about your sin. You don't care about your children. You don't care about this church. You don't care about this meeting. You care about yourself. You're here because you got a form. But you really don't care. But then some of you care. And I've noticed those who care have often have a tender conscience. And Satan gains advantage and he goes to work on them. Is it Raven Hill or Havner said, with haunting introspections. Some of you don't love the Lord and don't even care what he thinks. Some of you love the Lord so much and the devil works on you with shame and guilt that maybe you failed the Lord. And the Lord can't touch you and you're so lowly and humble, and Satan gained an advantage.
Right.
That you defeat yourself with haunting introspections. And afraid that he can't use you and can't touch you and can't bless you because you're not worthy, you're not clean, you're not good enough. Well, guess what? You're not worthy, you're not clean, you're not good enough.
Amen.
He knew all that when he come down there and hugged up on you. You're actually worse than you've ever imagined. You're much worse than you've ever imagined. And it's only bothering you. I nearly ran right there. Almost ran over you four fellas. You're much worse than you ever imagined. He's the only one who knows how bad you really were. You don't even know. You're worse than you think. But you're the only one that's bothering. He came to you when you was stuck in that messed up part of the horrible pit. He studied you at your worst, gave you his best, dug you out with nail-scarred hands, hugged you up, carried you to Calvary, became, the Word became flesh, and then the Son of Man became the sin of man, crawled upon Calvary. The Word became was made flesh, became a man. And then the man was made a worm. Became a worm. He was praying about that, Brother Seth. Amen. A worm. And then he became worse than a worm. He became that serpent on that brass pole. I got to seeing Jesus, John 13, washing the feet of Judas. Had to get under him. The devil from the beginning. I can't explain that. I can't explain it. He is a devil from the beginning. And Satan entered into him that very night and Jesus is under him. The only thing that I ever see get under a serpent would be a worm.
Right.
But tell you, he got under you. And he went worse than a worm and became that serpent. He became sin for us. See, as a worm, he became our humanity. But as a serpent, he became our sin. Maybe a new Christian here. In the Numbers, they were bit by them fiery serpents, and the only hope they had was they put that serpent on that brass serpent on a pole. John 3:16. Is that not the most popular gospel verse in the world? And the preceding two verses, I never hear anybody quote, but it says, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Some of you thinking you're so bad. You don't know how bad you are. It's worse than you know.
Oh, yeah.
But he knows. He came to your worst and picked you up. And when he washed you and cleansed you with that blood, he got every smallest particle. And I love the last word, imaginable.
Amen.
Because some of you are imagining things that ain't even there.
Right.
You care so much.
Care so much.
I wouldn't say you care too much, but I don't know. But you care so much that you and the devil, the accuser of the brethren, and you agree with him when you agree with God.
Amen. Preach it, brother. Tell it.
It's a splash this week. Everybody go to Zechariah. Go to Zechariah. You need to underline something. Go home, pop a happy bubble. Zechariah, I'm going to use your Bible, Dr. Joby, whenever you find it. Chapter 4.
God bless you.
I'm talking about imaginable. Every smallest particle and whatever you've been imagining it. Might not even be nothing wrong with you, but you're thinking there is.
Right.
And it's a haunting you, and you think God can't like me. God can't fellowship. God can't touch me. Because this is probably wrong with me. He washed away sins that wasn't even there.
Right.
Your hair gets that good, you sit over here. It's everywhere. Every smallest particle. And that stuff that you're imagining.
Amen.
You're not going to imagine stuff like that. Job did.
Right.
God opened up the book of Job. He's perfect and upright.
Right.
And Job spent the next 30 chapters trying to tell everybody what's wrong with him.
Right.
Well, I ain't going to believe Job. I'm going to believe God.
Tell it.
Zechariah chapter 4. This King James.
Yes, sir.
That's a low blow. I shouldn't have done that to Joby right there. Did you enjoy that? He enjoyed it. All right, I'll do it again if you like it. Chapter 3. It's one of them Old Testament pictures of imputed righteousness. A lot of new Christians never seen this one, Brother Buchanan. We got to show it to them.
That's good.
Every smallest particle of magic. I've been whitewashed. Zechariah 3, you started this, preacher. I had a prepared, structured outline. First one of the week. You've messed it all up. Chapter 3. Look in verse 1. Yep, we're heading for verse 4. You know it. But we got to start in verse 1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Let's talk about resist for just a minute. Ooh wee, popping happy bubbles. All you got to do to overcome Satan is resist him. I'm glad he made that stuff simple. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I don't understand that, but if you just stand your ground, you ain't got to outsmart him, you ain't got to outfox him, you ain't got to outtalk him, you ain't got to out anything him. You just stand.
Did y'all see Goliath couldn't get in? Did anybody notice that? Goliath couldn't get in. Are y'all with me? If you're so big and bad, why ain't you making any progress? That's what I said to him about day 20. Y'all ain't helping me. Day one, I'm scared to death of him. There's a nearly 10-foot fella. Day five, I'm still behind the big fella. That giant still there hollering at us. Day 10, I'm like, you know, all he does is talk. I still ain't willing to come out there and do nothing. I'm still standing by the big guy. But I'm like, you know, you notice he just talks. I mean, I ain't wanting to fight him, but he just talks. Day 15, I'm like talking back to him. You actually going to do something or you going to talk? And he'd be like, rawr! And I mean, I didn't want to do nothing, but I'm just wondering. Day 20 and 25, I'm acting silly. I'm like running out. What you going to do, big boy? I mean, we're 3 weeks into this and you don't do nothing but talk. Y'all got to help me. The old preacher from Boone told me 20 years ago that there ain't a giant in the Bible ever killed anybody. All giants do is terrorize. They were the first terrorists. They ain't on record where a giant in the Bible ever killed one of God's youngins. But we got several records. Anybody takes a notion can kill a giant. A teenage boy with a sling. An 85-year-old man that wants his mountain, Caleb. He took the Anakims, the biggest, baddest giants in the whole land. He said, that's my mountain. Man knocked him over with the Ben Gay smell, but he went after him. I can't wait to be old. I'm going to trade medication with every other old person. Take it all. If it ain't killed them, it won't kill me. Sit on the side of the road in my pajamas and wave my hanky at everybody. I can't wait. Resist! James said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Day 30, I'm talking trash. I'm out there. Day 30. Your mama's ugly. I can tell neither of you. Mama nor daddy was pretty. You big old ugly giant. 30 days he ain't took a step forward. Them old boys just stood there and said, he may be big and bad. We can't kill him, but we ain't letting him in. And he never came in. After day 40, 40 is the number of testing. Probate period, testing period. Here come a little giant killer. If y'all just stand there and wait until your testing's over, your giant killer will get here. He'll kill him, chop his head off, and then you can run the enemy out of the town. Resist. I'm in Zechariah 3 with Joby's inspired Bible. J.I.V. Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, oh, if you'll just wait a while, honey, Jehovah will rebuke him. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Y'all know what them brands was. That was a black burning stick that was nearly burned up, but it was still not burned up on the edge of the fire, and somebody plucked it out of the fire. I wish I had somebody right there. Amen. A brand plucked out of the fire. Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold,
I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with chains of raiment. Do you know why there's such a change at Calvary? Because there's such an exchange. He took all my sin, gave me all of his righteousness. There's a change. And then he gave you victory. He said, let them set a fair matter upon his head. That's that olive wreath there when they won the races in them Romans. And he set that victory. Oh my. Somebody need to see that. He was clothed with filthy garments. God took them off of you and gave you a change. What an exchange. I don't remember this old song, but I love to sing it. I'll have to sing it without knowing the words. It ain't ever hindered me. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. Take off the old coat, put on the new. My old coat was tattered in garments so bad. He gave me a new coat and now I'm real glad. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old coat and put on the new. That's a good song. I took off the old coat. That's the only line I remember. That's the only line that matters. He took off the old coat and he put on the new. I'll show y'all one thing, and it consists of two things, and I'll be done tonight. Splashing. Go to Hebrews.
God bless.
I give up on 10. I flat give up on 10. Y'all got to figure out for yourself what grace can do. I got a feeling you already know. That's why I ain't need to tell you. Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 8. I just want to show you before I leave tonight a little bit of this. Some of the gospel graces, glories, and covenants. Some of the things he swore to us under that new covenant. You got to love Hebrews. He's telling all them Old Testament covenants that Adam had with God, Noah had, Moses had, David had, Israel had. All them man messed up. But that new covenant, that everlasting covenant, Calvary's covenant, the covenant he made with himself. What is it, saith? And what's your name, preacher boy? Joseph. You are a preacher, ain't you? Justin. That's Joby over there. Justin. You said Justin sounded like Joseph. Drunk on the Holy Ghost. He can't even slurring his word. What's your name? Hallelujah! What verse is it, gentlemen? Where he said, chapter 6, verse 13, for when God could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. All them Old Testament covenants he made with man. But every man's a liar and they messed every one of them up. And so he got in that new covenant. And he didn't make a covenant with man. He made a covenant for man. He made it with himself.
Amen.
Yeah, Genesis 15 is your first. That's where you got to go back and study to understand Hebrews 6. Abram said, how can I know of a surety? Boy, that's a good Bible word. A surety. A sworn by blood guarantee. What verse is it saith in Judges Moses that, what verse is it, verse 17 or 18, that by two immutable things, 18, that by two immutable things, which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation. I preach a little message right there, Dr. Buchanan. There's strong crying in chapter 5. Is it verse 10 or 12? Strong crying in chapter 5. Yeah. Verse Yes, verse 7. They're strong crying. They're strong crying in one chapter, but there's a strong consolation in the next.
Amen.
And between them two is chapter 5, 12, strong meat, but there's a strong Christian.
Amen.
There'd be some strong crying. But when you get in your Gethsemane's garden, that blood on the ground is where he cried. You will not cry alone. A strong crying in one chapter, but you hang around, he'll make you a strong Christian by the end of that chapter. And then you can run into that strong consolation in chapter 6. I'd shake that sermon off of me. I was fixing to preach it. I had to get it off of me, testifier. He swore a covenant. See, them Hebrews was having a hard time getting that. They know man done messed up all them Old Testament covenants. Every one of them, man would mess it up. But God swore to himself.
Right.
We ain't got time to go to Genesis 15. But the Father swore to the Son what he would give him if he'd go to Calvary. The Son swore to the Father what he would bring him when he went to Calvary.
Hallelujah.
The Spirit, as the testator, the guarantor, the witness, the observer, the transactor, he observed it, recorded it, and swore to the both of them he'd carry it out.
Amen.
And all them holiness, I ain't trying to offend nobody, all them holiness Pentecostal people, because every sermon I worry so much about offending people, go to Hebrews 6 and try to lose their salvation. And they take everybody to Hebrews 6 and try to get them to lose their salvation. If you're trying to get somebody to lose their salvation in Hebrews 6, you got to beg them not to read the last half of the chapter.
Right.
Because they swear in covenant and anchors of the soul and the sure and steadfast and the forerunners. They can't read the second half of the chapter.
Amen.
Amen.
It's like going to Dairy Queen and trying to lose weight. This is what I did today. Amen. I'm going to show you two things the gospel swears to us. I felt like I was supposed to tell y'all this. Been trying to tell y'all since Monday. Chapter 6, verse 10. Tell me if I'm on the right one. For God is not unrighteous to forget. He's swearing to us there. There's some things he's not going to forget. Flip the page to chapter 8. I'm looking on you, Brother Joseph, Sister Fistine. Chapter 8, verse, flip it again, sir. Because we're looking at verse 12. Chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. All right, so he's swearing to us. He's swearing to us in the middle of all this covenant swearing. Proper context, ain't it, Pastor? We're in the covenant swearing, the new covenant, what's been swore to us. There's some things that he'll never forget. He swore it. And then he swore, there's some things he'll never remember. If that ever gets a hold of you, there'll be a foundation so strong, he'll put you in hell and you won't even believe he'd done it. You'll think it's heaven. Because he'll make it heaven. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. Help me get it right. In that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And if you serve him, you serve the saints.
Right.
You don't run out here and give to the Red Cross and build a HUD house and donate to the Ethiopian starving and then feel better about your humanitarian giving.
Amen.
Get saved full of the Holy Ghost, you minister to saints.
Amen.
You don't give away a turkey and give away the charity at Christmas and tell everybody what a good moral person you are. No, you get saved, get in the family, you minister to saints and you minister to everything that's happening in His name.
Amen.
And He's promised, I'll never forget. I'll never forget what You've done for me. And then He flipped the page and told you how good it was to be saved, Brother Justin. Brother Chapman, and He said, and I'll never remember what You did to me. Lord just wanted me to tell that. He'd been trying to tell that body this since Monday. God the swore, brought His righteous character on the table, laid it on the table, and said, "This, I'm swearing this to you in my righteousness. Not unrighteous to forget."
Right.
You said, do you have to do a big work for Him to remember? Y'all obviously ain't read your Bible.
Right.
He loves stuff like this. If you give a cup of water.
Right.
To the prophet. You get the prophet's reward. One old Puritan writer said this. He knows what you would do if you could do and acts like you did.
That's good.
Yeah. And that goes good or bad. If he weighs every man's the reins, the inward bowels, the deepest parts. And He knows what you would do for Him if you could and acts like you did. He knows you'd have done everything that He asked that prophet. And when you gave that cup, same crown going on that old prophet's head as it goes down the road. When you get to the end of the way, God has said, I know you'd have done it too. And here's the I don't know why y'all making this thing so hard. I've been with independent baptists all my life. They make it all so hard. We shout grace to the sinners and turn around and we shout works to the saints.
Right.
And you ain't going to have revival with self-effort.
No.
You receive that by faith.
Right.
Anything you're trying to do, He'll let you try.
Right.
Till you get wore completely out. And I'm like, I can't. I knew that way back there. Just needed you to know it.
Right.
Now let's see what I can do for you.
Amen.
Now that you turn to me.
Amen. Amen.
God swore that He'd never forget what You've done for Him. And then He swore too that He'd never remember what You did against
Amen.
Him.
God, You're good.
Very few Christian Baptists that I know understand how great their salvation is.
Right.
I'm going to comment on both of them and I'll be done. Brother Buchanan, one Brother Kiever, when I pastored, I was addicted to giving. I was 3 years old. Mom and Daddy heard the Macedonian call, leapt out there. God filled me with the Holy Ghost when I was 13. All I ever loved was Jesus, and all I ever wanted was more Jesus. Little country church asked me, the pastor, I was trying to go to Russia, Romania, plumb mad I had to stay in America. They paid me $300 a week. That's $15,000 a year. That's welfare. I thought I was rich. I told it 12 people. A $300 check every week. Gave it away. I thought I had so much. And I did. Just gave it away. Graduated from the Bible college and this 45 minutes from a big college and my brother moved in with me, Jason. And then one of his, next thing I know I had 10. Before I married Jennifer, I had 10 preacher boys living out there. Fed them all every day. I said, boys, I'm loaded. I was thrilled. Addicted to giving. And every time missionaries showed up, my people seen that funny look on my face. They was addicted too. Oh, I couldn't wait. We'd always load down the missionary's wife first.
Amen.
Then the children. what you told me last night. I told my wife a while ago. Nobody's ever done that for my children. There's a pastor down the road, been at a place 25 years. It all kind of fell apart, kind of uglied him out. His wife was great with child. They had no insurance. They had four children. He was in a deep valley. Or as my pastor's wife said, honey, I'm not in a valley. I'm just trading mountains. She said, I'm just currently trading mountains. Gene Burnseed. We had our little old summer meeting. I told a sister church down the road. I talked to the pastor. I said, let's do something for them tonight. That family's in here. I didn't know it. That morning, he sat down with his family and said, all we've done is serve the Lord for 40 years. We've believed God and trusted this Bible. And he said, children, we got no money to pay our bills. It'll be the first time. Got no insurance. The church dumped them. Cut them off. And they had to pay $2,000 now for this baby. Before the doctors would do anything. And I didn't know it! That morning he read Hebrews 6:10 to his children. They held hands around the wheat toast. That's all they had. He said, God, he said, children, wife, God's not unrighteous. He's not going to forget. He ain't going to forget us. You can believe this or not, we got in the service that night. I couldn't wait. I got to say, I vividly remember throwing three metal chairs down the hallway shouting. That's a true story. There wasn't nobody down there that I saw, so I just slung them. Woo! A metal chair. This is a tile floor. It didn't hurt nothing. I didn't know none of that. Holy Ghost told me. Because I said, start with a wife. I got them up there. Folks, we're going to be a blessing. They are in you. I said, let's do something special for this preacher's wife. We raised the offering for her on the spot. Took 2 minutes. Guess how much it was? $2,000. I like to party till the party's over. I mean, I got kicked out of school for not going to recess because I don't play. So I just didn't take it up and find out later. I said, count it. You've been on the front row. Count it. They counted out. I said, $2,000. When I turned to that family, and they'd all stand up there. I said, here's $2,000 for whatever the wife needs. They fell apart. That man read that verse to his children that morning. He said, we got to have 2,000 for the next baby. Now this happened. I can call witnesses in if you don't believe me. That preacher was very serious and he's very careful with his children, dealing with their salvation. They've never been saved. The oldest one was like 16 and then 12 and 10. The kids on their own. There's all a weep. The kids went over behind our organ and got in the corner. My hand before heaven. God saved them. They all got saved. There's over there crying, shouting. Daddy was just sat on the floor weeping, lost his composure. And they come out and God saved them. Now that was in 93. I saw him about 5 years ago and he said, my children still, they've stuck to that. They tell that. That's when God saved them.
That's awesome.
He has sworn that he's never going to forget anything. You'll forget. You'll forget most of what you've done for him. He ain't going to. One of these days at the judgment seat. And I need all the saved people, listen here just for a second. The judgment seat, he does not deal with sins. He deals with sons. Some people's going to have great loss and great regret. But he's already dealt with your sins. The judgment seat, he deals with sons. Some will have great regret. But you know the only thing you got to do to be blessed at the judgment seat is just don't quit. It is that simple. Just be faithful to try to be, do, believe, trust, go. Just don't quit. Kind of reminds me of our home pastor. You know, I told you that old man of God who's still pastoring? White, curly hair. Old man of God. We have a Christian school. He started one in 1971. Still got it today. And he has more trophies at the end of the year, the awards banquet. He has more trophies on the table than they have students. He loves them kids so much, he wants to give all of them something. And the ones that earn it now, they actually get a big night, they earn it. But he'll make sure everybody. There'll be a trophy, and he'll pick it up and he'll say, "This is for everybody named Billy who came to school on a Tuesday." Because some of them you got to really work hard at, you know, to give them some. And there'll be little Billy. He'll pop up, look at his mom and grandma the whole time. And old brother Roy grabbed him up. "Look at that, Billy! Give him a trophy." He went to school on a Tuesday. Named Billy. Did you know the only thing you can do to not get awards at Brother Gentry's award banquet is drop out of school. You drop out of school and quit, he can't give you nothing. But he's raised it where if you just take in there. And some of them who excel and done well, they get properly rewarded. But they make sure everybody gets up.
Right. Everybody's empty-handed.
You quit on God and bury your talents. He ain't going to be able to reward you. There will be regret. And I don't understand all that. I don't want to. I'd rather just stay with him. Just be faithful. He swore he'll never forget what we've done for him. But I love that, chapter 8, verse 12. And it's repeated again in 10:17, right over there with that full assurance.
Amen.
"Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." There it is. I can usually count on it to be in every church. Remembrance. I'm going to give you a handful of M&Ms before we go. It shouldn't take 2 minutes. Y'all going to come with me? "I will remember no more." The word "forget" ain't in there nowhere. He chose to not remember it. Now, the Old Testament mentioned the sea of forgetfulness. I like it. But it even gets bigger in the New Testament. I ain't got time to preach these. I don't feel led to preach them. I feel led to mention them. I did a word study on that, remember. What would that mean? I came out with a handful of M&Ms. When you remember something, it's when you mention it.
Right.
You mark it. And you're mindful of it. That's what them word studies. Zodiates, Strong's. Studied behind about 5 men of God. See if that word "remember." The Lord's Supper. We do this in remembrance of it. We mark it. You ever see a marker out there? One of these Civil War, a marker, right. A memorial? It's a marker. The Lord's Supper is a marker, a memorial. The occasion is marked. It is mentioned. When we remember something, what do they do on Memorial Day? All the victims of 9/11 or the soldiers on the wall, the Vietnam Wall, they're mentioned. Everybody be quiet. We're gonna speak this. We're gonna be mindful. We're gonna have our mind filled with it.
Right.
Not gonna think of anything else. We're gonna mention it and remember it.
Amen.
The Lord's Supper. We mention it. We speak it. We fill our mind with it. We're mindful of it. You wanna know what He done for me and you for our sins? You wanna know why He can put them out? of his remembrance? Because he remembered them all at Calvary. He marked them there. They marked the body of Christ. He mentioned them there. He read my account. The old account was long, and they were all mentioned at Calvary. Never to be mentioned again. And there is mindful. God filled his mind with my horrible, wretched, rebellious, wicked, corrupt sin and trash. He filled his mind with it and vented all the holy wrath, the proper just due, and the punishment payment for my sin. His mind was filled with it. It was mentioned. It was marked. It was taken care of. It was remembered at Calvary. And if you'll come by there and let him pardon you, not parole you. Is that what you told me? Pardon you. It'll never be mentioned, marked. You'll no longer have a mind full of what's wrong with you. His mind will be filled with what's right with you now. And we'll say this and I'll be done. When I was a little boy, I was 5 years old. Daddy took a church in Missouri. Boy, that's a good story. I wish I could tell you. That's a good. Coming back from Idaho on the way to Georgia. I ain't got time to tell you. And take me out to eat, pay for it, I'll tell you. And I ain't talking no crystals and no Taco Bell. We're talking something that'll hurt you. I mean, I'll hurt your family income that much. That's what I'm talking about. Now, that story would take too long and start another sermon. Daddy was pastoring in Missouri. 1973-74. I was a 5-year-old boy. And the church, small German farm town, Missouri, 20 years behind everybody. Still is. Thank God for it. I was a paper boy. Norman Rockwell. And I hesitate to use this language, preacher. I'm going to say special education teacher. They brought in somebody to teach them about the birds and the bees. I don't want to say the word. It was a special education. Y'all know what class it was. Is it all right to say it or not? I don't want to say it. Yes, it's said. It was an education class. And the old boy was wicked. Coming there with white, silky, see-through pants. Teaching that class to little boys and girls. Somebody walked across the road and told Daddy. Now, my daddy's a drill sergeant and a redneck. And he still had a lot of the Old Testament in him. He thought you still, you know, just slaughter the whole town and God will be pleased with you. He had some of the old dispensation ways about him. His heroes were the mighty men, chopping people's heads off, you know. That turned the other cheek. That's so he could, you know, get a better aim on it. He thought, you're supposed to turn the other cheek so he can knock your jaw in half. He'd get, you know, set up. They walked over there one day and told Daddy what that fella was doing in that class that day with the 6th grade girls. You know what brother thought. My daddy walked across the road. This is back when some pastors had authority. He got all the church kids out of the public school at that moment. Ran them all up. Took them all back across the road, put them in the church basement. Nobody ever went back over there again. That Christian school is still going today. Grace and Glory Christian Academy.
Amen.
What daddy name? Grace and Glory Christian Academy. Still going today. That would be 40 years. 38 years. So I'm down there in that basement, and Mrs. Beeman, holy saint. All of us 5th graders, kindergartners. She put up an apple tree, green construction paper, and hung apples, red apples with our name. And if you was bad, you got a bad mark. And she had little worms.
She cut out little black worms. And she'd take a pin or a tack and stick a worm in your apple. And if you got more than three worms in a day, a note got sent home. Now, if you got more than three worms before the first recess, and your dad's the principal, it's not good. I tried to hide it. Dad would pop his head in on the kindergarten class. I'd be like, stand in front of the tree. Put a hand on my apple. Smoothest five-year-old you ever seen. I'd be like, what's up, Dad? It's a true story. The first year, I had so many pinholes in my apple, it fell in half and fluttered down. My apple fell apart. There's so many bad marks on it. You know what she done when my apple fell apart and so many bad marks? She cut me out a new one. Stuck it up there. My daddy was schizophrenic. That's back when they used to give students paddlings. You know, before kids shot each other and raped each other in school, you know. Y'all remember that? You beat the kids so they wouldn't beat other kids, stuff like that. They'd give me a whooping in the office as a principal. And I promise you, we'd go walk across the yard to the parsonage. Across the yard, take 5 seconds, go in there. And then he'd become my dad. Son, go in the room. He said, I heard you was bad at school today. You heard. You were the one that told everybody how bad I was. He said, they had to deal with you at school today. Yeah, you whipped me like 30 minutes ago. I didn't say that. I thought it. He'd whip me again as my father. I never did figure that out. He said, well, them other youngins, they get a whipping from the principal and their daddy. And you are too. And daddy always believed the teacher. I don't know what a spoiled brat was. We raised a bunch of things today. That's just something, ain't it? You know why we're raising spoiled kids today? Because y'all are spoiled. You don't discipline yourself. And you cannot discipline your children. You don't submit to God's authority and your kids ain't going to submit to your authority. And I want y'all to know something. That God came by your apple tree one day. It was so full of bad marks. It had fallen apart. You had fallen in half. He took every worm and he stuck it in the body of his son. He took all your worms, brother. He took all your worms, son. I'd imagine a lot of blood coming out of him at this point. He took all your worms. He got all your worms. He got all your worms. He got all your worms. Brother Joby, he got all your worms. Sister, he took all your worms. He took all your worms. He took all your worms. Brother Keever, he got all your worms. Hey, son, he took all your worms. He's already died for your sins. He took all your worms, friend. He took all your worms. You get all your worms, Brother Todd. Hey, Brother Rusty Jacob. I ain't seen you since Sunday morning, but you're still my friend. I went to the other side. I've crossed over. You got all your worms, Brother Jacob. He took all your worms. He took the worms of every man, woman, born girl that ever would live. They were marked at Calvary. My sins. They were all mentioned at Calvary. Named every one of them when he stuck them in.
Yes, sir.
God's mind was full of it. He remembered my sins at Calvary. And the Son of God walked out in the 3 hours of darkness, and when he came back, he said, it is finished. If you come by there and pick up your pardon, there's one waiting on you. Brand new apple. It's got Jesus' name on it.
Right.
Couldn't even read my name no more, Dean, and it was right where she stuck on it. It fell in. Got a new apple, and it says Jesus. Well, news for you. He's so good to us. It's what grace brings you. He'll never forget what you've done for Him. And under Calvary's blood covenant, He'll never remember your sins and your iniquities. And I ain't got time to preach this, but He's prepared to deal with your unrighteousness.
Right.
I will be merciful.
That's what He's saying.
I'm planning on it. Future tense.
Right.
I'm planning on being merciful. Knowing they're still in that old flesh, that old body. I'm going to be merciful for their unrighteousness. And we're just never going to mention a mark of their sins and iniquities no more.
Amen.
Almost ran out the side door just now. I'm glad, ain't you?
So glad.
Quit. Come play for us, sister. Me and her sang a little while around here last night. And old Seth. We had some singing going on. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice on thy behalf appears. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice on thy behalf appears.
Amen.
That's good, ain't it? I want y'all to know that He swore to you He ain't going to forget what you've done for Him, and He's not going to remember.
Thank you, Lord.
What you did to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Play for us. Let's all stand. If you want to come thank Him, come thank Him. If you need to come get back in fellowship with Him, come get in fellowship with Him.